KHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Bitter blast.
This is burning cold. It's actually burning your skin.
Egypt strikes back.
They hit their intended targets, ISIS training camps and arms depots.
$1 billion breach at top banks.
Tactics were more like something out of a spy novel.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Dangerous cold has followed winter's latest snow blast in Boston.
Cold out here. I'm tired. Just can't wait for it to be over.
Weary Bostonians are digging out and struggling to stay warm after another foot or so of snow. Mayor Martin Walsh.
Over 7 feet of snow in 3 weeks in the city of Boston. This is historic.
Now, below zero wind chills stretch from New England into parts of the upper Midwest. It's -6 in Detroit. The wind chill in Bangor, Maine is 24 below, and it's at zero in New York City. Tough for residents and out-of-towners.
I'm from Miami. I don't know how y'all do it, but I am going home as soon as possible.
Back in Boston, CBS's Jerika Duncan says officials are hoping to use today's President's Day holiday to clear streets jammed with snow.
Winds gusting up to 60 miles per hour whipped up the additional 16 inches of snow Boston received Sunday, creating whiteout conditions. More than 600 plows throughout the city are doing the heavy lifting and moving. Snow melters aren't getting any breaks. Right now, cars are not allowed to park downtown. Two-way streets have been changed to one-way, and the city's transit system is out of service.
And there's bad weather this morning from Oklahoma into Virginia. Cuthbert Langley of WTVF-TV is in Nashville.
Thick ice covering the roadways. The sleet has covered the roadways to the point where you can't even see the lane lines here. The Tennessee Department of Transportation's plow trucks have been out here throughout the morning, but the salt and the brine is not effective with this amount of sleet.
And some parts of northern Tennessee and Kentucky could get up to a foot of snow. Now overseas, Egypt launched airstrikes against ISIS targets in Libya to avenge a mass killing carried out by the group. CBS's Alex Ortiz is in Cairo.
A graphic video released online on Sunday appears to show the brutal beheading by ISIS militants of a group of Egyptian migrant workers, Coptic Christians who had been kidnapped in neighboring Libya last month. But retaliation was swift. Egyptian warplanes carried out reprisal attacks against Islamic State positions in Libya. The Egyptian military tells CBS News that the airstrikes happened early this morning, striking ISIS training camps and arms depots.
In Denmark, scene of two weekend shooting attacks, the chief suspect was killed in a gun battle with police. Now, as we hear from Sky News reporter Ian Woods in Copenhagen, others have been arrested.
Two people charged this morning with aiding Omar El Hussein, the gunman who was shot dead during yesterday's police operation in the aftermath of the series of attacks which left two people dead. They have been accused of assisting the gunman in the aftermath of the initial shooting at the cafe in northern Copenhagen, and also with supplying the weapon that was used in the attack.
The situation in eastern Ukraine doesn't seem to have changed much, even though a ceasefire was agreed to last week. Live to the foreign desk in CBS's Vicky Barker.
Scattered fighting reported in the region one day after a ceasefire was to take effect. Each side blames the other. Both are supposed to start pulling their heavy weapons from the front line tomorrow, but the Ukrainian government says it won't withdraw from the crucial railway hub of Debaltseve as long as pro-Russian rebels are actively besieging the town. The rebels say they'll only pull their big guns out if the government does so simultaneously. They also say Debaltseve should be theirs. Steve?
It's being called one of the biggest banking breaches ever, with institutions in the U.S. and around the globe targeted by hackers. CBS's Heather Bosch joins us.
A criminal ring, likely based in Russia and China, stole up to $1 billion from banks.
We think the number could go up to 100 different financial institutions around the world.
Security expert Chris Doggett says the hackers used basic phishing schemes to fool bank workers into downloading malware. Once hackers had access to the bank's computers,
they really switched to tactics which were more like something out of a spy novel.
Like videotaping employees to learn how the bank's systems worked. Then they used a variety of techniques to steal money, from reprogramming ATMs to transferring cash into fake accounts.
It's the World News Roundup, and it's 4 minutes after the hour.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
This morning on WCHL, a winter storm warning is in effect from 4 o'clock this afternoon until noon tomorrow. A measles outbreak across portions of the United States has sparked concern from parents here in Orange County, and it's inflamed the debate over vaccinations.
Measles is extremely contagious, to the point of about a 90% contagion rate.
And the Chapel Hill Town Council will take public comment tonight on Weaver Crossing. That's a new development that's proposed for the corner of Weaver Dairy and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, one of the most storied and intense rivalries in all of sports, will be renewed on Wednesday night in Cameron Indoor Stadium. And
Big Four basketball had a little something for everyone on Saturday.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
806 WCHL, we have 20 degrees in Chapel Hill, 19 this morning in Carborough. A winter storm warning in effect from 4 p.m. until noon tomorrow. Cloudy skies, chance of snow this afternoon, 50% chance of snow. It's going to be cold all day, high today only in the upper 20s. Tonight, snow, sleet, and freezing rain in our forecast for this evening and during the wee hours of the morning. Probably freezing rain after midnight. Snow and sleet accumulation of 1 to 3 inches. Ice accumulation up to a tenth of an inch. That can cause some hazardous driving conditions. Near steady temperatures overnight with a low in the low 20s. And a chance of precipitation is 100%. Our forecast calls for most of North Carolina to experience wintry weather over the next couple of days, with many areas expected to get more sleet and freezing rain than snow. The National Weather Service forecast for Sunday called for snow to start falling in the western part of the state this morning. As the system moves across the state, areas such as Raleigh and Charlotte and east of Greenville are forecast to receive a nasty mixture of snow, sleet, and freezing rain in the afternoon and evening. In other words, probably about 4 o'clock this afternoon is when it will all start here in the Triangle. All snow is forecast for Boone in the western part of the state, while a mixture of precipitation is expected in Asheville, also in the mountains in the western part of North Carolina. And that goes to show that there is quite a bit of variation in this. About 4 inches of snow is possible in the Triad area, as I mentioned, 1 to 3 inches of accumulation expected here in the Triangle, and that ice accumulation could be the most dangerous things. We will be in touch with the National Weather Service on a regular basis, as we always are during this weather crisis. Stay tuned to WCHL throughout the day and tonight, and remember, our website will have all the information, chapelborough.com. We do have a few school announcements to pass along this morning. No delays, anything like that, because nothing is happening now except for this cold weather. We have the anticipation of this snow and other problems coming later in the day and tonight, and so therefore, some of the school systems have decided to go ahead and close early. Orange County School will close 3 hours earlier than usual today. Durham Public Schools also closing 3 hours early. Chatham County Schools will be closing at 1 o'clock this afternoon, and it is already a teacher work day in the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System, so no decision there. But if we do get more announcements throughout the day, we'll have them for you right here on WCHL and again on our website at chapelborough.com. The state Supreme Court is about to decide whether millions of dollars in taxpayer money that started flowing this year to pay student tuition at private and religious schools continues for a second year. The state's highest court hears arguments tomorrow on a ruling last summer that the Opportunity Scholarships Program violates the state constitution because religious schools can discriminate based on faith. Wake County Superior Court Judge Robert Hobgood also said privately run K through 12 schools are not required to meet state curriculum standards. Supreme Court justices showed they're in a hurry to decide whether private school vouchers will continue by latching onto the case early. Parents are already looking ahead, and the deadline for them to submit scholarship applications for the next academic year is March 1st. So far, more than $4.2 million has paid for 1,200 students to attend 216 private schools around the state. That's according to the State Education Assistance Authority. Chapel Hill Town Council will be busy tonight.
taking public comments on Weaver Crossing, a new development plan for the corner of Weaver Dairy and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. All of this, of course, weather permitting. We'll keep you posted on that as well. The 3.7-acre project that's proposed for that corner off Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard combines several parcels of land ranging from Sparrow Street to Weaver Dairy Road. It would include 40,000 square feet of office and clinic space, a Walgreens pharmacy, and 132 parking spaces. In case you're wondering, if you're coming out of town north, headed toward I-40 on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and you take a right on Weaver Dairy Road, that is that area right there to your right as you're making that turn, and that is where they're proposing this development to be. The council will also take comment on a request to rezone 1.8 acres of adjacent land next to Weaver Crossing from mixed use to community commercial. That lot, the former location of the Chapel Hill Montessori Day School, currently no new projects are proposed for that site, but again, it's right next to the other one. Town Council meets tonight at 7 o'clock in Chapel Hill Town Hall. Tension is mounting between investors who own rental properties in the Northside neighborhood and the residents and nonprofits working to preserve the traditionally black working class community. We'll have all the details on that coming up at the bottom of the hour here on WCHL. You can also get it on our website, chapelboro.com, an extensive report from Elizabeth Friend. A measles outbreak across portions of the United States has sparked real concern from parents here in Orange County, and it's inflamed the debate over vaccinations that you've been hearing about in other parts of the country. WCHL's Blake Hodge has more on the story.
Stacy Shelp is the public information officer with Orange County Health Department. She says there is no presence of measles in our community, but you don't have to think back very far to remember an outbreak.
Measles is extremely contagious, to the point of about a 90% contagion rate. We did have an outbreak here in Orange County back in 2013. We had 8 confirmed cases in Orange County and 23 in the state. So we're very familiar with this. As at that time, what we would continue to do is really encourage people to get their vaccination.
She says that she does not have current numbers, but Orange County has traditionally had a very high vaccination rate.
In 2013, here at the Orange County Health Department, we actually had a very high vaccination rate. At about 97% of our patients were vaccinated.
Most public school students in North Carolina receive a shot to help fight off the measles, but there are waivers that can be filed by parents who do not want their children vaccinated.
There are medical and religious exemptions that parents can use for school reasons. Filling out a waiver, and you know, it's not going to be for us to track down and say, prove it, prove it, prove it. It really is for that parent to say.
Shelp adds that the vaccination is the best preventative measure parents can take to avoid the viral infection.
They can get their first dose of the MMR between 12 and 15 months old, and a second dose at 4 to 6 years of age. That's obviously, and with a lot of evidence behind it, the best way to protect yourself from measles.
There have been no confirmed cases of measles in the Tar Heel State in 2015. There was a scare with 2 potential cases in Cleveland County, but test results for measles were negative. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thanks, Blake. 813 WCHL. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report is brought to you this morning by Cruisers. Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Morse.
You know, I am just going to call myself out on this. I was looking at the cameras on the website, seeing what the traffic looks like, and thinking to myself, wow, it's like nobody's going to work today.
Don't you wish?
It's President's Day. Yeah. Hello. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, that's the good news, I guess. If you are having to go to work today, traffic is pretty light. No problems to report. No reports of any accidents. We're still looking at traffic moving very well northbound Fordham Boulevard. As you head towards Manning Drive or Highway 54. 54 East also a clear shot to 40 from Fordham. And 40 eastbound looking good if you happen to head out to the RTP or maybe the airport for an early flight. Looks like a smooth ride from 54 all the way through the airport exits.
Well, it's amazing how much contrast there may be between this morning's situation and what we might face tomorrow morning at this time.
True that. We are looking at some inclement weather coming our way, so just be aware of that. And you might, if you are going to work today, you may be wanting to leave a little early.
You know, it strikes me that people who have moved here, and there's so many of those folks who have moved here from the Northeast,
yeah,
you know, always think that we're crazy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We just go ballistic when there's a little bit of snow or something, but gosh, I'm so thankful that we're here and not there, you know, based on what they've been facing.
And they should be glad they're here and not there.
Exactly.
As well, but, you know, the reason why we go nuts is because we don't... we don't have the kind of snow clearing equipment that they do up north. And,
exactly. Wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point? We only get like one snowmageddon a year.
That's right. Hey, listen, thanks a bunch.
You're welcome.
And were you going to say something else?
I was just going to say, if you see anything on the road, call us at 967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
All right. Well, very well done.
Oh, thank you.
Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace, where you can fuel up each morning with Cruiser's Fresh Brewed Beans Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and hot good. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great at Cruiser's. Good to go. Now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carboro forecast. Well, you know what it is. A winter storm warning goes into effect at 4 o'clock this afternoon and will last till noon tomorrow. Cloudy, chance of snow this afternoon, 50-50 chance, in fact. Our high temperatures today won't rise up to the freezing point. Upper 20s is what we're talking about here. Tonight, snow, sleet, and freezing rain in the forecast, and then just freezing rain after midnight. Snow and sleet accumulation, 1 to 3 inches. Ice accumulation up to a tenth of an inch. Temperatures will hold steady in the low 20s. Chance of precipitation, though, is 100%. Tomorrow, partly sunny, slight chance of snow in the morning, but sunshine most of the day, high in the middle 30s. Forecast brought to you this morning by Berkeley Grimble and the folks at Grimble Jewelers. They're always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's in the Villas Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
Time for WCHL Championship Sports. A lot to talk about this morning. One of the most storied and intense rivalries in all of sports will be renewed on Wednesday night at Cameron Indoor Stadium. We're just a couple of days away from the 239th installment of Carolina and Duke. This season, the Tar Heels, at least right now, are trending in different directions. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more.
There's a lot different. There's a lot different said in the Louisville game than there was in this game. There's a lot different in the Virginia game. There's a lot different in the Boston College game. So it's not necessarily one theme that keeps recurring. So I don't know.
That was UNC junior guard Marcus Page following Carolina's disappointing 89-76 loss at Pittsburgh. His Tar Heels are searching for answers, and that's bad timing with a pretty big game looming large midweek. Carolina has now lost three of its last four, but at least in the latest setback, some consolation could be found in the lights-out shooting, 65% to be exact, by the opponent. Here's UNC head coach Roy Williams.
They were so much more aggressive than us early and so much more positive in everything we did. I don't think we ever had to leave, but I think we had it tied a couple of times. And then they went on a tremendous run again. Early in the second half, I thought it was still any man's ball game, and they make their first seven shots. So am I disappointed and upset with my team in several ways? Yes. But I think you also have to understand that Pittsburgh had a lot to do with the outcome of the game.
Duke and Carolina battled it out for the first time on January 24, 1920. The two hated rivals have met at least twice a year since then. Many of those encounters have gone on to decide the eventual ACC champion. Since the ACC's founding in 1953, Duke and Carolina have combined to win or share 48 ACC regular season titles. That's 78.7% of the total, and 36 tournament titles, 59% of the total, including 14 of the last 18. But this year, both schools are playing the role of chasers in the conference standings, looking up at one loss Virginia. But for surging Duke, that gap is closing. Carolina, meanwhile, appears to be fading back into the pack. A frustrated Coach Williams says his Tar Heels were simply overwhelmed by the super sharp Panthers Saturday afternoon. As for his counterpart, wearing a tie with a darker shade of blue, Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski was a lot happier following his team's win at the sold-out Carrier Dome.
Our free throw shooting down at the end was just about perfect. So guys made big plays, and just really pleased with the win. We beat a really good team, great crowd, great environment, and feel very fortunate we won.
That is Coach Mike Krzyzewski. There's a lot more to that story from Matt Oakes. You can get it on our website at chapelboro.com. It's 818 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz, and we turn now to Andrew Carter of the News and Observer. And Andrew, I know you've been following ACC basketball, and particularly Carolina, all season long, and here we have a matchup coming up on Wednesday night between two teams that are headed in vastly different directions right now, at least this stage of the season.
Yeah, it seems so. I mean, if UNC loses this game, and certainly they're not going to be favored at Cameron Indoor Stadium, it will have been their fourth loss in their past five games. Seems to be a team that's just kind of searching for answers, searching for direction, and some positive momentum. at this point. And then you have Duke, which had a couple puzzling losses early on in conference play against NC State and Miami, but seems to have put it together of late and has been playing really well.
Well, these things kind of ebb and flow. As you mentioned, Duke has had its down stages of the season as well. And as we enter this game on Wednesday night, Carolina enters it as a clear underdog, especially playing at Cameron. Do you see this as an advantageous position for the Tar Heels to really put it together?
Maybe. I mean, you know, college basketball is so tricky and weird sometimes. I mean, who would have thought that Pittsburgh would have shot almost 65%? On Saturday, you know, that was just unheard of, the best shooting performance by a UNC opponent in 30 years since NC State in 1985. So you never know what's going to happen. And, yeah, it could be the kind of thing where, you know, if it's backs against the wall a little bit, having, you know, lost some momentum, that, you know, UNC regroups and plays really well. But certainly on paper, this is not a favorable matchup for UNC. You know, Jahlil Okafor is a monster down low. UNC doesn't really have anyone who can guard that guy. And then on the perimeter, just if what it does on the perimeter when they're playing well, UNC hasn't guarded some of those guys well out there either. So defensively, I think Duke will pose a lot of problems. And then offensively, UNC just hasn't been that good of a team lately. Marcus Page continues to be kind of in a funk. Kennedy Meeks has been coming off the bench. You know, Bryce Johnson has played well statistically, but I think Roy Williams still wants a little bit more out of him. So, you know, on paper, this is not a very good matchup for UNC, so I'd be a little bit surprised if this was a particular game that they put it together. But, you know, again, you never know.
Well, Roy expressed a lot of disappointment after the Pittsburgh game with the way his team played defense or didn't play defense. And all season long, there's been this conversation about how Carolina is not tough enough. You would think that if ever they might play a tough game, it would be against Duke, their arch rival over at Cameron. But again, who knows how this game is going to be? What kind of a game do you expect?
That's a good question. I don't really, you know, kind of what to expect. You know, you mentioned the toughness thing. I think certainly that's been an issue for these guys, but you know, the other day I chalked that up more up to Pittsburgh just shooting an insane percentage. You know, that's just kind of a fluky thing. Yeah, UNC could have played better defense, could have gotten out on some of those shots more effectively, but you know, even when it was well defended, they were making everything, it seemed like to me. But I don't know. I think that UNC will play a pretty good game on Wednesday. I think they will bring a good effort at least. You know, this is a game that they shouldn't have to reach too far deep inside themselves to find some motivation. So it shouldn't be a lack of toughness on Wednesday night that's the issue for Carolina. You know, I wonder more if they just have kind of the firepower at this point, if they can just compete with Duke. Just because the last four or five games, even when UNC beat Boston College, it wasn't really that pretty of a win. The first half, they struggled that game. They kind of struggled in the second half after building a decent lead. So I just wonder if UNC can play well enough, period. I don't know if toughness will be an issue. It shouldn't be, at least on Wednesday.
Well, as they always say, we'll wait and see what happens. And Andrew Carter, we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Sure. Happy to join you. Thanks for having me.
Andrew Carter, News and Observer. His thoughts on Carolina and Duke coming up on Wednesday night. And now, brought to you by the Vapor Girl.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Big Four Basketball had a little something for everyone on Saturday. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. The ACC is so big and unwieldy these days that you may not have noticed that the old Big Four, Carolina, Wake Forest, State, and Duke, played in four consecutive games Saturday on TV from noon to almost 9, and every game had implications even if they didn't go the way you were rooting. After the emotionally draining week, the Tar Heels came out flat at Pitt, but eventually erased an early deficit to tie the score. Then the Panthers got hotter than they have in any game this season, and Carolina's poor defense and lost chemistry have to be a concern for UNC fans as February unfolds. Pitt hit 65% of its shots, 53 from three, its best offensive game so far. The Heels could have closed out better on the long ball, but interior defense worried me even more. I am worried about Roy Williams tinkering with the lineup this late in the schedule, and the good chemistry his team once had seems to be waning. Hopefully an old Dean Smith adage will apply. When a team hits rock bottom, it will be very dangerous in this next game.
That next game is Wednesday night at Duke. Wake Forest proved that without Justin Anderson, Virginia will have a hard time finishing first in the ACC. The Cavaliers have been in two nail-biters since Anderson went out, and they are bound to lose somewhere without their best all-around player over the next 3 weeks. The Deacons had the ball down one with the last shot, but could not get it off. Still, I think UVA is in trouble. I was rooting for State, which almost never happens, and the Wolfpack did the Tar Heels a great favor by beating up and down Louisville in the Yum Center. It was the Cardinals' fourth ACC loss, and coupled with Carolina's defeat, still leaves five teams in the mix for the first four seeds in the ACC tournament. Meanwhile, State looked pretty darn good, especially point guard Cat Barber, and could be a load for the Tar Heels a week from Tuesday night in the Smith Center. And the Dukies at Syracuse. What can you say about that game except that the Blue Devils still get the calls when they need them? An obvious fifth foul on Jahiel Okafor wasn't called, as well as Quinn Cook almost tackling the Cuse's Trevor Cooney on a layup. Whistles there could have given the ordinary Orange an upset and dealt the blow to Duke's ACC and NCAA tournament seedings. Still, all four were intriguing games that raised all kinds of possibilities as we hit the home stretch. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
WCHL Championship Sports presented by UNC Healthcare.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing, and we can say we knew her when. Visit unchildrens.org.
Hello, this is David, the Town Hall Burger and Beer in Durham across from Southbourne Mall. You always know when you come to Town Hall Burger and Beer, you get an 8-ounce burger, cook your way, you choose your bun, you choose a great patty, whether that is a chicken, whether that is quinoa, whether that is black bean, whether it's a salmon or our special blend burger. So now you can come in and have your favorite burger, chicken, quinoa, bacon, hand-cut fries. So come join us at Town Hall Burger and Beer. That's it.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. With the busy spring market just around the corner, it's time to think about getting your house ready for sale and selecting a realtor to sell it. Let my 29 years of home selling experience benefit you. Call today at 919-933-8500 or see us online at TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
Needing dinner plans for the family? Looking to feed a party? Craving a snack while watching the game? You're in luck because it's always a good time for Wings Over Chapel Hill. Who can resist their fresh, never frozen food brought to your door with free delivery? With 23 flavors of hand-battered wings to choose from, along with ribs, sandwiches, wraps, and fries, Wings Over Chapel Hill is your answer to what's for dinner. Open 7 days a week and late nights on weekends. Give them a call or visit wingsoverchapelhill.com to satisfy your craving fast. It's always a good time for wings.
Tune in every Saturday and Sunday to a wide range of programming, from health to business to the arts to career and financial advice. The lineup includes...
On behalf of your health, I'm Dr. Adam Goldstein.
And I'm Dr. Christy Page.
Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin.
Welcome to this episode of Caring Connections. This is your host, Nicole Bruno.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome to the Art of Potential show.
This is John Stillman with the Financial Safari.
Welcome to another edition of Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with my co-host, Liz Cooper.
Welcome to Sports Focus. I'm Charlie Tuggle.
This is Sharon Hill. Welcome to Today's Business.
The Tokyo Rosenthal Program!
Good afternoon. This is Phaedra Kelly at the Arts Spot in WCHL.
That's our weekend lineup every Saturday and Sunday here on WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, your news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
828 WCHL. Everybody excited about all the folks. We're going to announce who they are very soon. The 64 participants in the WCHL Healthiest You Challenge. all the details on our website. That's a great contest and event. And, gosh, you could say so many other things about it. So many folks get excited about it every year. This is our fifth annual Healthy Issue Challenge. And all the details on our website, if you'd like to read about that, and chapelboro.com. 829 WCHL, closer look at your weather coming up in just a moment.
There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacturer of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also on the web at jewelrecycle.com.
Come help support the prevention of child abuse with Kappa Delta during its 22nd annual Shamrock and Run event on Saturday, February 21st. Beginning at 8 a.m., the race will wind through the UNC campus and end at Graham Memorial. The new one-mile fun run will begin at 8:45 a.m. Registration is $20 for UNC students and $25 for non-UNC students. To sign up, visit unc.kappadelta.org or come to the Kappa Delta House across from the Moorhead Planetarium to register on race day. It shouldn't hurt to be a child. Thank you, WCHL, for caring about our children.
Good morning. It's 8:30. WCHL, your Chapel Hill cover of weather. Brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full. A winter storm warning goes into effect at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It will last till noon tomorrow. 21 degrees right now. Our high today expected to be about 28 degrees. There's a 50-50 chance of snow this afternoon. Chance of snow, sleet, and freezing rain this evening and during the overnight hours. Accumulation, 1 to 3 inches. Ice accumulation up to a tenth of an inch. Temperatures will hold steady in the low 20s tonight. 100% chance of precipitation. So, not much doubt. Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM, WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
FTV reporter Cuthbert Langley.
It has been sleeting here in the Nashville area nonstop since 4:30. Thick ice covering the roadways. The sleet here has clumped into ice balls all along the roadways.
It is a mess through the Mississippi Valley and Tennessee Valley areas of ice. Severe storms rumbling through the southeast this evening.
WBZ forecaster Danielle Niles with possible southern snow totals from the new storm.
A wide swath of 6 to 12 from areas of Kentucky stretching east towards Virginia, and another blast of Arctic air comes in behind it.
Boston's gotten about 96 inches of snow this winter, another foot from this storm, and more is on the way. CBS's Jerika Duncan.
In the suburbs, snow blowers were even on rooftops as buildings were threatening to cave in under the heavy snow.
Wind chill minus 17 in Boston and New York City.
This is burning cold. It's actually burning your skin.
Feels like 11 below. CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barron.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
8:32 and it's 22 degrees in Chapel Hill. A cold day on the way. A winter storm warning goes into effect at 4 in the afternoon. A couple of quick school announcements today. The Orange County schools are getting out 3 hours early. Same for the Chatham County schools, and the Chapel Hill Carrboro City schools are already on a teacher work day today. Durham Public Schools also closing 3 hours early today. Tension is mounting between investors who own rental properties in the Northside neighborhood and the residents and nonprofit organizations working to preserve the traditionally black working class community. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
A group of real estate investors say they're not represented on an informal committee working to implement the Northside and Pine Knolls community plan. They're lobbying the Chapel Hill Town Council to appoint a town-sanctioned committee that guarantees investor representation.
You know, we don't like these meetings going on, you know, behind our back with proposed zoning changes and everything else, and then we find out after the fact that the town council is considering them. These are our properties, and we have property rights and should be involved in all the proposed zoning changes, not just us to provide a defense after the fact.
That's Mark Patmore, the owner of Mercier Residential Properties, LLC. He owns several rentals in the Northside neighborhood. He's also lived in the area for 20 years.
What we actually are proposing is the town council, once and for all, establish a committee that truly represents the Northside neighborhood, and that is the venue where any and all zoning changes and proposals are addressed. and not behind closed doors.
Dolores Bailey is a Northside property owner and the executive director of the housing nonprofit Empowerment. She says Pat Moore's claims don't hold water.
They are open meetings, and they're invited anybody who's a homeowner and has any kind of stake in Northside.
In addition, she says the work of the committee is shared with the broader public at monthly community outreach meetings.
I've not seen Mr. Patmore at many of those meetings, but that's certainly the opportunity to learn what's going on, what's being talked about, and raise any concerns he might have. So I'm disappointed that he would raise a red flag and insinuate that someone was doing something behind closed doors. There's lots of opportunity for him to input at the community level. He just is not taking advantage of that.
The fight over committee representation is just a small part of a larger battle over the future of the Northside neighborhood. In 2003, longtime residents of the Northside and Pine Knolls neighborhoods came to the town council asking to create a neighborhood conservation district to help protect the traditionally black working-class neighborhood from an influx of student rentals. Residents said students made poor neighbors, complaining about yards used as parking lots, loud parties, and litter. They also argued that as investors bought up the housing supply to turn it into student rentals, long-term residents were being priced out by rising property taxes. The Northside Neighborhood Conservation District, or NCD, was approved in 2004. The new rules included a cap on house size to discourage investors from renovating smaller houses into multi-tenant rentals, as well as parking and occupancy limits. A decade later, Patmore argues the NCD is not working as planned.
Unfortunately, because of the implementation of the conservation district, I think it's done more harm than good and actually discourages families from wanting to build in this neighborhood because of the size restrictions, the height restrictions, the bedroom to bathroom ratio. All these things are not what families want and is actually playing into the hands of investors to where the only people willing to buy in the neighborhood are investors, which defeats the whole purpose of the conservation district.
But Bailey cites the work of nonprofit organizations to build 5 homes in the area, as well as Empowerment's purchase of several rental units aimed at families instead of students. The town council approved a second approach to neighborhood preservation in 2012 in the form of the Northside and Pine Knolls Community Plan. It's aimed at fostering cooperation between student and non-student residents, increasing homeownership opportunities and affordable rentals, and preserving the culture and history of the neighborhood. A coalition of 5 long-term residents, town staffers, Empowerment, and the Jackson Center has been working to implement the plan. Patmore says he and other investors are worried that the negotiations underway now will result in tighter restrictions, including possibly dropping the number of unrelated renters who can share a home from 4 down to 3.
I mean, I'm a resident of the Northside, and I've been a resident for, 20 years. And I'm growing increasingly frustrated that these non-resident organizations are actually messing with our property rights, and we don't get a say in it till it's too late.
But Bailey stresses this is not the case.
There is no motion to change policy, either in the community outreach meetings or in that neighborhood committee meeting that meets once every other month. There is nothing policy-wise to change occupancy in the Northside neighborhood.
Ultimately, the town council would need to approve any change to the NCD rules or make the move to appoint an official committee. Despite an email campaign, Patmore says he has yet to hear any response from council members. And until that happens, he says he and his fellow Northside investors will keep pushing.
Just as the town council genuinely or theoretically represents the taxpaying citizens of Chapel Hill, I think officially established committee for the Northside is important.
Bailey says she'd like to see Patmore and others engage in the process that's already underway.
We know and understand that neighborhood is going to change. The answer is that we be able to always say what we feel about how it's going to change. And that is Mr. Patmore's right just as much as it is Dolores Bailey's right. That's what I want people to know and understand. We do not have to be adversaries. We may not always agree, but we can at least sit down at the table and talk.
The Northside Community Outreach Meetings take place on the second Tuesday of every month at the Hargrave Center. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 8:38. Couple of sports notes I wanted to make this morning that we didn't have time for earlier to talk about at great length. It was a state championship weekend for several local teams. We're talking about high school athletics here in the Chapel Hill Carborough District. The Chapel Hill boys swimming team captured the 3A state championship. It's the second consecutive team championship for the Tigers, who compiled 341 points, and that is 40 better than runner-up Cardinal Gibbons. The star of the day for the Tigers was Jake Pudyk, who won 3 individual state championships. Hudak captured the championship in the 50-meter freestyle, was also a member of Chapel Hill State Championship 200-yard freestyle relay team, which also included Christopher Aaron, David Batson, and Emery Harwell, and was also on the 400-yard freestyle relay team with Aaron, Ang Lee, and Patrick O'Donnell. In girls swimming, Chapel Hill's Claire DeSelm captured two individual state championships, the 100 fly and the 200 individual medley. It's the second year in a row that she's won both of those state titles. And meanwhile, the Carborough boys swimming team tied Shelby for the 2A-1A state championship. The Jaguars' Will McMillan won two individual events, taking honors in the 100 free and setting a new state record in the 200 free. He was named the most outstanding swimmer of the meet for the second consecutive year. Carborough's Thomas Bilden was also victorious in two events. So congratulations to all those young athletes, those young swimmers in the Chapel Hill Carborough City School District. It's 8:39 at WCHL. Nikki Morse is here, and Nikki, I'm just wondering if anything has happened, anything monumental has happened out there as far as traffic is concerned or anything like that.
Monumental? No.
Yeah, we're keeping an eye. We'll be in touch with the National Weather Service throughout the day.
Absolutely.
Get information, and that will be posted, as always, on chapelboro.com.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have it on the half hours, too.
Yeah.
So make sure you're listening for those updates.
Exactly. Nikki Morse with updates at the bottom of the hour all throughout the day. So hang on a second. We'll get a look at morning traffic in just a moment here. And we also have a special guest coming up in just a few minutes. We'll tell you what's happening with Transforming Hope Ministries. Pretty exciting stuff. That's on the way.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Every Tuesday morning, Wolfgang Bakery and Grooming in Chapel Hill partners with WCHL and local animal shelters to present WCHL's Adopt-A-Pet. Come to Wolfgang Bakery and Grooming in Meadowmont Village for premium pet food and treats and a grooming spa experience for your furry friend. Wolfgang is celebrating its first anniversary at Meadowmont Village and invites you to join in marking a successful first year on Saturday, February 21st. Bring your pup along and enjoy anniversary specials on grooming and treats. Wolfgang Bakery and Grooming in Chapel Hill fully supports finding your next pet to pamper through Adopt-A-Pet on WCHL every Tuesday morning.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing, and we can say, we knew her when. Visit unchildrens.org.
Enjoy the best hops and high cuisine at the Carolina Inn on Thursday, March 12th. The evening begins at 6 p.m. with local North Carolina craft brews by Foothills Brewing and delicious hors d'oeuvres. The reception is followed by a scrumptious four-course plated dinner prepared by executive chef James Clark and is paired perfectly with Foothills craft beers. Secure your seat today to indulge in a unique experience of culinary delights and thirst-quenching beers. Visit CarolinaInn.com for more information. The Carolina Inn, where we come by Southern naturally.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Wes Hare. I'm dealing with phobias today. Fear of snakes and spiders are two of the most common phobias among humans. But why do people get creeped out by moths, frogs, and other insects? We can blame the parents and the community, etc., etc., etc. And from a long ago film, South Pacific, you've got to be taught to learn to hate before you are 5, 6, 7, or 8. You've got to be carefully taught. Now, what about human culture phobias? Christianophobia, Islamophobia, Judeophobia. Now, these phobias can be grossly manipulated. Witness Duke's positive effort, offering the Duke Tower for using the tower for daily Islam adhans, and aggressive attacks by Franklin Graham, etc. He seized on Islamophobia, used it for religious hustling, and probiphobia stirring up, claiming Allah is not the Christian God, and our neighbor, University Duke, backed down. The next day, 300 folk joined 100 Muslims in an overcoming Islamophobia prayer event. Very good on them. Faith-based and positive actions can overcome and confront our various phobias. And this is Wes Hare.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It is time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL, and this traffic report is brought to you by Berkeley Grimble and the folks at Grimble Jewelers. Here once again is the inimitable Nikki Morse.
Looking pretty good on the roadways this morning. Of course, it's President's Day, so a lot of people have the day off. If you're traveling on 15501, that's in good shape both directions between Franklin Street and 40. And 40 eastbound remains delay-free if you're heading towards RTP or the airport this morning from Highway 86 out through the airport exits. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call, 967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Thank you, President Nikki Morse.
You're welcome.
You're the president of Traffic Report, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's President Day, so I thought we would, you know, take this opportunity to...
Thank you. 84 and several roads ago. I don't know what to say to that.
I was involved in a traffic jam. Damn, this traffic jam. How I hate to be late. Hurts my motor to go so slow.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that
no.
song with James Taylor? You don't know that?
Sure, I know it. Yeah.
Okay, sure you do.
Well, I would recognize it if James Taylor was singing it.
Molly Stillman is here, and Molly knows that song, don't you?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Traffic report brought to you this morning by Grimble Jewelers. And let me just tell you that Berkeley Grimble is the guy to see. He's always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods. Now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, it's brought to you this morning by Town Hall Grill. It is kind of tricky. Winter storm warning in effect from 4 o'clock this afternoon all the way to noon tomorrow. It's cloudy today, chance of snow this afternoon. It's going to be cold. Our high tomorrow in the upper 20s. Chance of snow is 50%. Take one of me, too. Don't just take selfie. Tonight, snow, sleet, and freezing rain in the evening, and then freezing rain after midnight. That's the problem. Snow and sleet accumulation 1 to 3 inches, and then a possibility of a tenth of an inch of ice accumulation overnight. And that's where the problem lies. Your steady temperatures overnight, low 20s, and chance of precipitation near 100%. Tomorrow will be better. We'll at least get into the middle 30s tomorrow. 20% chance of rain during the, or snow rather, in the early part of the day. And Town Hall Grill, located in Southern Village, is the perfect place for a great meal. Don't forget, after UNC home games, show your ticket and you get 10% off anything to eat and drink at Town Hall Grill. 846 WCHL, good morning. Ron Stutz here, along with Molly Stillman. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I can't complain. I don't love the cold, but I'm one of those rare people around here. I kind of hope we get a little bit of snow.
Well, you just like the snow, the way it looks and
I
everything.
I love the snow. I like one good snow mm-hmm. that we can go outside and play in, and then I want it to be done.
Yeah.
You know?
Me too.
Yeah, like one good snow.
Be nice.
You know.
But the only problem is it results in all kinds of traffic problems
yeah,
and school delays and all that kind of business. So, hey, let's just keep our fingers crossed it's not too bad.
Right.
Transforming Hope Ministries. Pretty exciting weekend coming up.
Yeah.
First of all, explain to our listeners who may not know what this organization is all about.
So Transforming Hope Ministries, we're a little over 4 years old, and we are probably the only nonprofit organization in the Triangle that is working to end, bring an end to human trafficking, specifically in our area. So human trafficking is obviously a huge issue today, and it's one that people don't really think happens, especially in the United States, but even more so in, you know, the Chapel Hill, Durham, Raleigh community in the Triangle. And the fact is that North Carolina is number 10 on the FBI's list of states that are most are at higher risk for trafficking because of the highways, large military bases, coastal tourism, and the demand for cheap sex and cheap labor. Because human trafficking encompasses both sex trafficking and labor trafficking.
I think, you know, most people, beyond what they might see on a crime show,
right.
You know, they hear about human trafficking on there, and they, you know, not really aware that this happens right here.
It happens right here.
In our community, in the Triangle, every single day.
Yeah.
And I know that you guys are all fired up about doing something about that. What are you doing this weekend?
Well, this weekend is our second annual father-daughter dance, and we started it last year because we have found that most of the victims and most of the you know, largely the community that is at risk, there's often a common thread, and one of those is homes where there is not a male figure present, or homes where there is not a strong father figure. And so we really want to encourage and nurture the father-daughter relationship, because it is so important for a young girl who is growing up as far as her self-esteem and her confidence and all that kind of stuff. And so we started this father-daughter dance to sort of encourage that relationship, but then also we bring in speakers, and we do something really fun for the girls, and then we do something you know, kind of informative for the dads of, you know, how can you help, you know, really nurture your relationship with your daughter so that she doesn't become a victim one day, or that she's educated and maybe she can help to bring an end to human trafficking. And so we've got fathers and daughters of all ages. We've got, you know, as little as 3 years old all the way up to, you know, 17 or 18 years old as far as daughters. And then, you know, obviously fathers of all ages and father figures too. So we've got uncles who bring their nieces and things like that. So because we understand that sometimes there are situations where there might not be a father in bed, but it's all about, you know, nurturing that strong male figure relationship. And so it's a great night. The event is this Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Sheraton Imperial Hotel in RTP.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are still available. So if you would love to do something fun with your daughter or daughters, if you're listening, you want to do something fun with your dad, or like I said, even if, you know, maybe you want to do something with your grandpa, or maybe you want to do something with your uncle, you know, this is a great event for just, you know, sort of that adult male figure to take, you know, a younger, you know, familial female figure, if you know what I mean,
yeah.
To just a really fun night out. There's going to be dancing and face painting, and we've got wands. Our themes are princesses and superheroes, and so we've just got so many great things planned. And, of course, there's, you know, no dance would be complete without a chocolate fountain. Let's be honest. There's going to be a chocolate fountain with some fruit. So, and then also we do have people who buy single tickets. So if you're just interested in coming out for a great evening, we do have tickets for $25 for two people, or tickets for $10 for one person. And so you can come on out, support Transforming Hope Ministries. All of the proceeds go to Transforming Hope Ministries, and you can kind of hear a little bit about what we're doing this year. And we've got some really big things planned, but it's going to be a really great event, really, really fun. And I'm not going to lie, I really wish my daughter was she's just a little too young for my husband to take her. But next year, he is totally going to take her, and exactly. It is going to be adorable.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, like, the pictures that come out from this night are precious, you know, where you see the dads getting their little girls like a corsage, and they're all dressed up in their tuxes, and it is just, it's so fun and so sweet.
It's a really cool experience that she will remember for a long time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's something that I went to father-daughter dances when I was a kid with my dad, and those are some of my favorite memories. And so we just we're excited to sort of bring something positive and also bring light to something that is so awful in this community, but do something positive at the same time.
I think I know that that's one of the most important things that you do, and one of the things that you're really passionate about is exposing this and making sure that people understand what it's all about. How do folks find out more about Transforming Hope Ministries?
You can go to our website, transforminghopeministries.org. It is kind of a long URL. If you want to buy tickets for the event on Saturday, you can just go to that website and then click on the store up in the, like, menu bar at the top, and you can buy your tickets there. But you can also read all about our different programs, our fundraising campaign, an awareness campaign called The Hope Effect that we have going on right now. So there's a lot happening with Transforming Hope this year, and we are really, really excited. And, you know, we're always looking for volunteers and people who are, because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, human trafficking, it's awful. How do I help? There are lots of different ways that you can help. So you can go to our website, transforminghopeministries.org, to find out. And, of course, we're on all the social media outlets and the like.
Well, Molly, thank you so much for coming in. And I just wish we could get you to be more excited about it. And
there's no passion or enthusiasm in my voice whatsoever.
We might be able to convey your enthusiasm just a little bit better.
Yeah, I know. But I'm really lacking in that area.
Yeah, you really are. But thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Ron. I really appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. 8:53 at WCHL. Coming up next, you're going to meet today's WCHL hometown hero.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to think about it. Is there anything better than a lobster dinner? Fresh, tender, succulent lobster? For lobster lovers everywhere, the answer is obvious. No. Now imagine your delicious fresh Maine lobster served with a side of perfectly whipped mashed potatoes and the world's best hush puppies. You deserve a lobster. And here's the good news. Your lobster dinner is waiting for you at Squid's tonight.
Squid's Restaurant and Oyster Bar. And don't forget, lobsters are on special every Monday night.
Like having access to cash? Whether you need funds as a safety net or additional dollars for special purchases. At Bank of North Carolina, we're always here to help. For more information, stop by any of our locations in Chapel Hill and the Triangle. Bank of North Carolina, delivering more than you expect starts with me. This is Rick Calica, President and CEO. Subject to credit approval, member FDIC.
Can you slam dunk? Do you wish you could slam dunk? I'm 6'2", and on my best day, I couldn't even come close. But if you're like most guys, yes, you wish you could slam dunk. But you're too short, not enough spring in the legs, and you just can't slam dunk. Or can you? I'm Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers. And guys, I'm here to tell you that you can slam dunk, and you don't even have to jump. You just have to come into Grimble Jewelers. We'll help you pick a gift for your lady that sparkles. Something that's gold or silver, something that twinkles, a diamond, a ruby, a sapphire. And we put it in a little jewelry box and wrap it up just the way she likes. Then you head home. You hand that little box to her. You tell her, a little surprise, honey, just because I love you. You'll feel yourself start to lift off the ground. And when she sees what's inside, brother, that's a slam dunk of a gift. And you can't even touch rim. Grimble Jewelers, you want a slam dunk? Get in here. You're going to feel like you're 3 feet off the ground.
All right, 99929-WCHL is your number to call if you remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond. What is the word? How do you spell it? What's the proper definition? Call right now. You can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers if you're our first correct caller. It's brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Your number to call one more time, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Barbara Jessie Black is today's WCHL hometown hero. She's executive director of the PTA Thrift Shops in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. She does everything she can to stay involved in the community and makes this a better place to live in a variety of ways. And how are things going at that still almost new shop in Carrboro?
We are doing really well. Every day is something new is going on, and we get new customers, and people are still amazed at the fact that, you know, this new space exists. And so that's probably why we're still calling it the new space. People come in and go, gosh, I've not been here before. When did you do this? So we like to sort of capitalize on that and continue with the newness. But yes, things are going well.
The PTA Thrift Shops will celebrate their 63rd birthday coming up soon, February 28th, at the Hampton Inn in Carrboro. It's a big fundraiser. And of course, you know the cause is the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools.
We're super excited. The last few years, we created this event to celebrate our 60th birthday, and we thought it was going to be a one-off, and we had such fun, and it was so well received by the community. We've been doing it ever since, and this will be our fourth event. So this year we decided to be in Carrboro, and we were approached by Hampton Inn Suites and said, hey, let's try it here. Let's see, you know, what the buzz might be around the Hampton, as well as, you know, since our flagship store is in Carrboro. We are looking forward to a fabulous event. We've partnered with Music Maker Relief Foundation for the entertainment. We'll have Cool John Ferguson, John D. Holman, and of course our beloved Mr. James. This is what we call him, but he's actually known to the music world as James Bubba Norwood. And so that'll be the entertainment, and we're looking forward to having a really great time. Food will be sponsored by some of the current and new restaurants at 300 East Main, and we look forward to fun.
And by the way, I'll be there as your master of ceremonies for that special fundraiser. It's called Secondhand Glam, and it's going to be a blast. For more information, go to ptathriftshops.org. You know, Barbara Jessie Black has worked really hard to build the PTA thrift shops into the organization it is today. She's had a lot of help, of course, over the years, but she's doing a fabulous job. And Barbara, for that, we thank you.
Thank you.
Barbara Jesse Black, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Congratulations, Randy Whitley. Your word of the day today is using it as a verb today. Distemper, D-I-S-T-E-M-P-E-R. It means to throw out of order, to mix up, or to upset. And Randa gets a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer? That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket? Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso? No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal? Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower? No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a... no.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for water and shock resistance. Submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes. Wrench residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
It's 9 o'clock.
You're listening to 97.9 FM. And